You're listening to the Motorsport Prospects Podcast. Hey, it's Mark from Motorsport Prospects, and welcome to the Motorsport Prospects Podcast. This is where we dive into the world of motorsport with the people who live and breathe it, from driver coaches and sponsorship experts to team owners, pro drivers, and more. You'll hear real stories, practical advice, and insights you can actually use whether you're just starting out or already chasing success on the track. Now, I've been asked why I started Motorsport Prospects, and the reason that I founded Motorsport Prospects and the Verified by Motorsport Prospects designation was because I kept hearing, and I keep hearing, the same question time and again from drivers, aspiring drivers, their families and advisors. And that question is always, who can I trust? Many people struggle to find reliable guidance with trustworthy professionals, so I created Motorsport Prospects to help them make informed decisions. The professionals I feature on this podcast represent that trust. So if you work with drivers or racing teams, building trust is one of the most important things you can do. Over the years, I found that being clear about what you offer, following through on your promises, and genuinely caring about your clients' goals makes all the difference. And so I put together some practical advice in a free white paper called The Three Essentials for Motorsport Business Owners, which shares simple ways to strengthen relationships, track the right clients, and grow your motorsport business naturally. You can find it in the show notes of this podcast or at motorsportprospects.com. So with that being said, let's get started. My guest today is Mike Morini. Mike is team president of HMD Motorsports, responsible for the everyday business operations of the company as the team continues to grow and be successful. He also runs RTD Media and Management, a division of Racetech Development Group, which provides all kinds of media services for the motorsport industry, from driver and team promotion to social media management and business development. His team can have you covered from A to Z. So welcome to the Motorsport Prospects, Mike. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you for having me. It's always been something that I see emails come through and see the podcast. So it's good to finally be on it.
Yeah, no, it's great, and I think you're gonna have some great insight, which is always related to my one. And well, actually, I lie. I do have two questions, but the main question is always based on your experience and expertise as a motorsport professional. What would be the one most important piece of advice you could offer a current or aspiring race driver?
Driver, motorsports industry member, anybody really, is just to get out there and meet people. Never say no if you have an opportunity to go to the track. If you can break even going to the track, eventually you can make money by going to the track. So I think that was the biggest thing that how I got started was in 2003. Before that I was in karting, but in 2003 I went to my first Indy 500. I've never missed an Indy 500 since then, and I was just a fan at that time. And I said, I was sitting next to my now wife. I said, I'm gonna work in this. I'm gonna work at this Indy 500 deal. I don't even know what it is, but I'm gonna work in it. And you know, from that point forward, I had my own karting team, and I met a few drivers, and I got connected with Dan Weldon, and Dan connected me to a few people. And now I have Roger Penske's phone number. I can text him. I have other people's names and numbers that I never thought I'd be associated with, but it's more just because I was able to get out to the track. Once you get out there, people see you, they remember you. Maybe the first year they don't know who you are, but when you get to year two, year three, you become a face in the paddock. And then you get put in, specific positions. Once you succeed, then you're in the industry. And that's the biggest thing of advice, whether it's a driver or somebody who wants to be a lead engineer or anybody, is just to get out there and meet the people.
Right. The power of networking. Mm-hmm. And I always say the same thing. The digital stuff, what we're doing is great. Zoom calls are great, but it doesn't replace actually meeting people, shaking their hands, looking them in the eye, and introducing yourself.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's anybody can plan for a Zoom call, right? I knew this for a week. I knew I was going to be speaking with you. I could have all my answers lined up on a piece of paper, but when it's real life and in person, handshake, making eye contact, like you said, it's hard to fake that. So right. It's just, and I think it's also at that point in time, you see the real emotion. If somebody's shaking your hand, but always looking a different direction because there's another, another somebody else that's maybe more important over that over there. You can kind of get a sense of that, and you get a maybe you're not the primary reason they're there, but yeah, it, obviously in person's the best thing. And always, if you're in person, you could be asked to do something or be involved in something. If you're just on a digital platform like this, it's just, I mean, we could talk about doing something in the future, but it's not now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, good point. Now, you tell me a little bit about RTD and how that works. I get the emails from RTD pretty much daily. And I just for people listening, what does RTD do and how is that important for a race driver?
Yeah, so when I was growing up, I guess I'm not grown up yet, but when I was growing up, I had a karting team, and karting, it's really difficult to make money in. I had a 53-foot Featherlite trailer going to all these events, and in fact, David Malukas was racing with a different team at that time. So it worked out, we raced against him. He couldn't afford to race with us at that time. At least that's what his dad says. But yeah, so I started this little side business. It was kind of like a side hustle, just writing press releases, maybe charging $75 a release or $100 a release. I started building my contact base, especially when I was going to the track. Anybody that I met, I would learn everything I could about them. I'd add them to my contact list. I'd reach out following the weekend, say, hey, it was nice to meet you. And it was literally a little bit of side money to live. I think when I had a karting team, we were living off of credit card points, honestly, because we would spend $100,000, $200,000 a month on credit card. But I had customers that would catch back up, and then I was using the points to buy groceries and stuff like that. It was kind of a unique time for me and growing up. And then kind of grew from there. In 2011, I started a karting team. I was working with Dan Weldon at the time, and we were actually had plans to have a huge karting program rivaling some of the factory teams over in Europe. Obviously, that didn't continue on after the accident in Las Vegas, but in my heart, that was something that I wanted to continue to do. So I just did it with a lot less money, and I kind of kept growing, and then the karting industry kind of everybody was starting to undercut everybody. So I said, you know what, I'm out. I sold truck trailer, all the inventory and everything in 30 days. And it was probably one of the most stressful times of my life because it was a complete, almost career change. And I'm just going to focus on my little media business. I have, 20 clients now we're doing press releases for, and kind of started to grow that. And then COVID hit, and we were doing some stuff for FRP, Formula Race Promotion Series. And I contacted somebody and or somebody contacted me, sorry, and said, hey, I want to go take photos for you. I said, okay, well, how much do you want to get paid? And he said, I'll just do it for free. I'm like, okay, well, yeah, that's awesome. So, and then eventually that person now is a full-time employee. He's been a full-time employee since 2020, late 2020. He kind of runs our videography, photography department, but we've grown RTD into 9 full-time employees, typically anywhere between 14 and 17 employees, or not employees, but workers on a weekend. I mean, this weekend in Sebring, I think we have 4 videographers. Last weekend in Arlington, we had 6 people. So anything from, graphic design, social media, marketing decks, website management, you name it, we kind of do it. But it's a second form of income for me to go to the track. Obviously, I'm going to the track with HMD Motorsports, but because I'm going there, I have the opportunity to meet all these drivers that are coming into HMD or maybe moving up the ladder, maybe not into this program, but I have an opportunity to maybe use, or they have an opportunity to utilize me as a or RTD as a media service. So it kind of goes hand in hand. It's almost, you feel like sometimes you're taking two customers at the same time and with two different programs, and maybe you are, but I've always learned that to go to the track in motorsports and make a living in motorsports, you need to go to the track and get paid twice. So this is my
Yeah,
opportunity.
no, absolutely. You said something really important, and I think for those listening, it's really critical that they do this. You mentioned how you would take note of the people that you met and then you would follow up with them. And I've always recommended, and honestly, I sometimes don't even do it myself. Write down people they call them customer relation and management systems, but at the end of the day, just write down who it is that you met, what they do, get their contact information, and follow up and just say it was great meeting you. You never know where that might end up. It might go nowhere, but it could end up in being something significant.
Yeah, and today it technology, it's so easy, right? You talk to somebody, you leave the conversation, you walk around the back of the trailer, you open your iPhone or your Android, and you open the notes and you just say, Joe Smith, met at Barber Motorsports Park. This is what we talked about. And take a photo. I always take a photo of their business cards because I always lose them. So I take a
Oh,
photo
good
of them,
idea.
and then Monday, Tuesday, get back to the office or back to your computer, and or even that night in the hotel, just say it was a pleasure to meet you today. If you have anything that comes up, just let me know. And honestly, 95% of those people always respond back and say, hey, it was great to have the connection. Look forward to seeing you at the track in the future. The other thing too is like if you find out something about someone, like if, for example, if I go to meet somebody at the track and we end up at the same restaurant and I see the guy's drinking a Corona, I just write down that he likes Corona. So next time I see him, I'm like, hey, let's go get a beer. I know you like Corona, and they're like, well, how'd you know that? And kind of just learn everything you can about somebody.
That's actually great advice. Now, maybe tell me a little bit about what you do with HMD and your work with drivers.
Yeah, so in 2019 I started with HMD. It was BN Racing at the time, but then it was a kind of a two car USF 2000 Pro 2000 Indy Next program, and then I went to Toronto, kind of looked out for some business for Henry and Diva as they weren't able to go to that race and a couple other races that year, Road America, I believe, and I just came up with a little bit of a plan or a little bit of an idea of what I thought was going on and kind of showed them. They're like, okay, well, why don't you work for another 30 days and tell us more? So 30 days turned into 60, turned into 90, and it's been 7 or 8 years now. But yeah, we expanded to up into a 10-car program in Indy Next at one point. Obviously, now the series has some constraints and we're only allowed to run four under
Right.
the HMD banner. So we've partnered with AJ Foyt Racing and Cusick Motorsports in an alliance program. So each of those programs have two cars, but we're helping them get off the ground and running. As for the eight drivers combined, I do most of the business side of it. So the driver contracts, the reaching out to the drivers, all the, I would say, the financial side, so the money in, money out, so all the engine leases, all the tire leases and stuff like that. We do have a Jody who works in the office next to me, but she takes care of all the tire ordering, all the fuel ordering. She's basically like a second a set of eyes that looks over everything.
Okay.
She was actually an RTD employee, and she's also now David Malukas's personal assistant at the event. So it's kind of we mix. It's a lot of people working together. Obviously, for somebody to hire one person, it's going to be, X amount of dollars. But if we can split that one person over two or three different programs or two or three different jobs, that person can make a little bit more money, but it's a little bit less or more affordable for each and every person that's using that person, that
Right,
company, that
right.
person. And that's the same thing that we do with the RTD program is like when we go to the track and we send four videographers, we're typically working for 10, 12, 15 people. So the one company's not paying for all the expenses of one videographer to be there. It's kind of split between four or five people and it's more affordable and then people kind of jump on board. So, but at HMD, we've kind of expanded into the business side of it. We have a paint booth now, we have a fab shop, we have a decal room. Each of those businesses have a full-time employee in them. We also have
Okay.
a decal installer. So everything from trailer wraps, car wraps, we do everything in-house. Everything that we were doing outside, we brought inside as much as possible. I don't think we outsourced much, even carbon fiber repair now we're bringing
Oh, wow.
inside. But everything that, all the services that we offered everybody else. So we print all the decals for AJ Foyt Racing. We painted their timing stands. We did some stuff for McLaren. I think we wrapped a Top Fuel, one of Tony Schumacher's team's cars, and I know a couple of weeks ago we did two trailers. We redid all five of our trailers. So that room is doing really well. The paint booth we just got up and running at the end or middle of last year, but it exceeded expectations in 6 months. And this year we made some goals for that. So we challenged the painter that we have. We hired him from Las Vegas. He was doing like graffiti artwork, but now he's full time, and we challenged him to kind of bring in some more business. So once we get to a certain point, he can make a commission or a percentage on top of that. Same with the Same with the Fab Shop. I mean, we have TJ Speed, which is three USF Pro cars, and then we have Intersport Racing, which is the LMP2 car in the shop, and we rent space to them. But they utilize all of our services as well, decal, paint, and fabrication. So while they're paying rent to be in here, they don't have an electricity bill. They don't have to go buy toilet paper for the bathrooms. I mean, that's all handled. And then we give them, if they're in the shop, they get a discount on all the other services that we provide. So using them as word of mouth advertising to sell stuff outside of HMD.
Very entrepreneurial, and motorsport always is. You have no choice, really.
If you, yeah, you, I mean, it's always, and it changes so fast that, I mean, just, you have to be fluid in everything you do. I mean, the decal room right now, we have two printers, a plotter and a laminator. And I bet you, if we could double that room, if we could double the equipment and double the people, we could triple the business. But we're just like, we're almost to that point where I'm going to approach Henry and say, hey, look, we need to take a set of stairs, and upstairs there's a second level there. We put two more printers and another person, and I think we can run that room 24 hours a day. So
Wow.
it's going good.
And where's HMD based out of?
Brownsburg, we're about Brownsburg, Indiana. We're about 15 minutes from the speedway, 15 minutes from the airport. We took over a Marsh grocery store that was actually closed down for 7 years. The building sat empty. Renovated the building, so it was about a year and a half, 2 year renovation project, but it's about 75,000 square feet. We got a 2,500 square foot gym with a steam room and showers for
Wow.
the drivers to use. We have a simulator room. We got a nice lobby with a show car, so it's a nice place to come and work every day.
Wow, yeah, that sounds great. So where can people get details or contact you for RTD?
No problem. It's just rtd-media.com is our website.
Okay.
My email address is mike@rtd-media.com. I live on my computer and my phone, so 16, 18 hours a day. So if you don't get a response within an hour, it's probably because I'm sleeping. But also, every time I get on a plane, I log onto Wi-Fi. So I'm a guy who doesn't like to have unread emails and a long to-do list. So.
Perfect. And I'll obviously post the links to RTD. I'll post the links to HMD as well. Final question. Now, what is your favorite all-time racetrack, whether current or historical?
Man, it's a tough question because it changed last week.
Oh,
Arlington, the event was
really?
pretty cool. I mean, it was that. I mean, I know the drivers said it was great, but even for us, I mean, 15-minute walk to the hotel. The racing was awesome. I mean, that was great. I love Barber Motorsports Park. I love Road America, and I love St. Louis, the Oval.
Oh,
So
okay.
it's hard to pick one, but. Yeah, Arlington is definitely close to the top or at the top now. It was such a cool race.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but positive things. They said it's basically a next level IndyCar race. They've really upped the game.
Yeah, I mean, the next street race is Detroit. I almost feel bad for them because they're coming after what was like a, I almost called it like a festival, and now you're going to a race. So if ever a street race, if St. Pete, Arlington, Detroit, if they could all be that way, I mean, it would take IndyCar to the next level as well. I mean, it was so cool.
Always bigger in Texas, as I say.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate the time, Mike. I like as you are always plugged in. So it's great that you took the time to chat. Like I said, I'll put all the links to RTD and HMD and Mike's email address in the show notes. So anybody wanting to get a hold of him, as far as if they have any media requirements, all that'll be there. Great. Thanks so much, Mike. And that's pretty much it for this week. This is Mark from Motorsport Prospects, reminding you to stay fast, stay focused, and keep chasing that checkered flag. Thanks for listening to the Motorsport Prospects podcast. For insights, advice, and the latest news racers can use, visit motorsportprospects.com.